Okay, well, we're going to start and continue on in our study in the book of 1 John. Actually, we're going to finish our study in the book of 1 John. And if we get Robin to bring up the slides there. Got a new toy, so play with, pardon me if I bump around a little bit, I've got a clicker. Okay, so the outline of our 1 John, this is all of 1 John chapter 1, walking with God. The first time we got together, we talked about the invitation to joy, how we are invited by basically Pastor John, who is the pastor of one of the early churches in Ephesus, and it is the same John that was Jesus' beloved disciple. And he invites us to the great joy that comes from knowing Jesus. And then he invites us to walk in the light. And we talked about walking in the light and what's involved with that, and light and darkness and truth and error. Walking in love, we talked last time. Walking in love is one of the key ingredients, and that's how the world can separate us out and tell the difference between us and the other guys out there is how much we love each other and how much we love the world and the unsaved folks in it. And so today we're going to talk about walking by faith. So the main idea, again, for this chapter is walking by faith. And I was thinking about walking by faith, what a challenge it is. And in life, we have so many different challenges that present to us. Just doing life can be a challenge. And doing life, walking through life in the light of the gospel and walking with the truths of the Lord, trying to permeate our being and trying to be more like Jesus every day, it can be difficult. And so that's why the Bible is so important and so helpful in showing us the way, pointing out signs. That the Bible is full of signposts, if you will, telling us to go right and left and telling us about conditions in the world that we have to be aware of. So one new little wrinkle in my message, I'm going to bring a little comedy into it. And I'm going to show my top 10 signs that are kind of crazy. This one isn't even that funny. It didn't even make the list. I just used it for a welcome sign. This one I found online. I don't think that sign's the least bit funny or confusing. There's a college that way, the town that reads that way. I don't see why anybody would think that was funny. But here's one. It says, caution, water on road during rain. That's always good to know. That the water could be on the ground when it's raining. So I'm glad they have a sign for that. I mean, some signs are really important. This one, it says there's no swimming in this area. And I was glad for that because, you might have brought your trunks and wanted to jump in. And I was going to say a little nasty one. It almost looks like Chestina in the fall there. But anyway, you can't swim there. This one says keep right. So I wanted to make sure that we all were quite clear on which way is right. This one, I'm not sure what they were intending there. Bikes are okay. Cars can go jump in the lake, I guess. I'm not sure. But anyway, that one was funny, I thought. And this one, thin ice. I don't know if you can read it. It says, thin ice. Go ahead, try it. Anyway, you don't weigh that much. It won't break. Anyway, Robin and I saw one that I didn't even put up here. We were at Fort Bragg a couple weeks ago, and right near the lighthouse, it was Fort Lighthouse near Fort Bragg, there was this kind of a crevice and kind of a treacherous area, and there was a little, one of these warning signs, and it just looked funny. It was like stick man, that had to walk where you walk and don't walk, and he was like, in midair falling off a cliff. It just was kind of funny looking. It was warning you not to get too close to the edge.
I've seen that sign. Yeah, it's really cool.
We took a picture. I just didn't make my list today. This one is a...
absolutely nothing.
Could have appreciated that one.
Absolutely nothing.
I've seen that on the way to Arizona.
Have you? Well, Robin and I could have used this sign. I think I told the story last week of us getting lost in the mountains between Garberville. We were coming over from Fort Bragg trying to find a shortcut and went through the mountains, every little mountain road with a cattle trap on it and everything. And only God got us to a gas station. Even that, I wouldn't have called it a gas station. It was a bait shack with an old rusty pump in front of it, and they managed to sell us a couple gallons that got us into Redding. But it was very scary because there's no cell phone coverage up there either. Not only absolutely nothing service-wise, there wasn't even cell phone coverage, so that was scary. So absolutely nothing, next 22 miles. Good to know. This one, be prepared for the unexpected. That's always a good sign. Looks like this guy caught the sign a little too late.
That's funny. Look at that car.
This one I thought was very helpful. I do not like paying fines. I'm not the kind that likes paying fines. I got a ticket a while back, and it burned me and have to pay a speeding ticket. So I appreciate it that, you know, to know that the fine, there is a fine. I mean, instant death, and you're going to get fined $200. I mean, you're not going to want to touch that wire. And this one, I think, kind of wraps them up. I mean, you know, that's the one, that's the ultimate road sign of life, you know. One way, pick which way you want to go, I guess. That's really, really about all there is there. Oh, excuse me, they did have one more. This one is better. So, you know, if you really need a place to stay, we got one for you here. You're going to have to act up to earn a spot. Okay, so, but we're talking about walking by faith, walking with the Lord, and we're going to finish up here in the last chapter of 1 John. So, I mentioned in our first session and that John, in this letter, kind of, he does a lot of repetition. I think it's because he's trying to keep it really simple, and he keeps saying the same points over again. So we covered actually the last part of the fourth chapter, we're talking about being God's children. But he really picks up that theme again in this chapter real strongly. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. I'd like to go ahead and we'll start reading. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. I'm going to pause right there. There's this little mini controversy kind of going on in our Shasta Baptist Association. There's one church where a pastor was, you know, in some people's view, preaching heresy. He was preaching that repentance is not required for salvation. You know, and I mean, you start thinking about it. Well, okay, we talked about John 3:16. It says, you know, if you believe in Jesus, that you'll be saved. And there are a lot of scriptures that indicate that it's really just that simple. But again, we're talking about in the whole counsel of God, when you take the whole thing and look at it, there are many scriptures that indicate that there is a responsibility on our part to hold our salvation. And that is, you know, it says that in verse 2 here, we know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. So there is an obedience to God that is required. Let's see, verse 3. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. That's one thing I found, too, that one guy said, and I repeated it over and over again, I think it was a Christian comedian named Mike Warnke, who said that basically if you spend all your time doing the do's in the Bible, you don't have time to do the don'ts. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a true statement. We say, oh, there's so many things you can't do if you're a Christian. I don't want to be a Christian. It sounds awfully boring to me because it says you can't do this and you can't do that. Well, if you don't look at the don't things you can't do, you just focus on, what did Jesus say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Well, I can attempt to do that. I can ask for his grace to help me with that. Love your neighbor as yourself. That guy next to me is going to be a chore, but I can work that out. Take him a plate of brownies one of these days and just make his day. I mean, we can do good things that are on the positive side. And if you're going to bake brownies for your next door neighbor, there's a good chance you probably aren't going to leave a pile of dirt in his driveway if he was a rude neighbor or something. I mean, that's just the issue is a matter of your heart. And is our heart seeking to be obedient to the Lord God? And verse 5 is actually really one of my favorites. It says, and who can win this battle against the world? Only those that believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So again, it is a battle. It's a really mighty battle at times. But it's a battle that we can win if we remember who's on our side. You ever remember playing sports when you were in like junior high and maybe not so much high school, but particularly in junior high, like recess sports, dodgeball, kickball, whatever. And there's usually one kid who is the hyper-competitive, big athletic. If he's on your team, you're pretty much going to win. Well, guess what? That kid's on our team. You know, Jesus is on our team, and we are going to win the battle. Okay, the next slide continues on. And Jesus Christ was revealed as God's Son by his baptism in water and by shedding his blood on the cross. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And the Spirit, who is truth, confirms it with his testimony. So we have these three witnesses, the Spirit, water, and the blood, and all three agree. Since we believe human testimony, surely we can believe the greater testimony that comes from God. And God has testified about his Son. All who believe in the Son of God know in their hearts that this testimony is true. Those who don't believe in this are actually calling God a liar, because they don't believe what God has testified about his Son. So he's talking not only about the written testimony, and we said, I forget how many prophecies of the Old Testament are fulfilled in Jesus, but just pick up and read Psalm 22 for just an eye-opener, and there are many others in Isaiah and some of the other books, many, many words speaking about Jesus way before it happened, and he filled them to a T. And I've read somewhere there's like over 300 of those prophecies in the Old Testament that Jesus fulfilled every one. So that testimony they're speaking of too, but remember, God did some physical demonstration when John was baptizing in the Jordan, and Jesus shows up, and Jesus said, hey, I need to be baptized by you. And so Jesus obeyed, was obedient to the Father, was baptized by John. The sky opened up, the Spirit descended on Jesus, and the voice of the Lord was heard saying, this is my beloved Son. I mean, scribes were there, Pharisees were there. There was no mistaking that this man was not just another guy. This man really was who he said he was, the Son of God. And God backed it up with outward testimony. Okay, so verse 7, we did that. Okay, again, just a reverse onto 10, reading 10 one more time, real quick down there at the bottom. All who believe in the Son of God know in their hearts that the testimony is true. Those who don't believe this are actually calling God a liar because they don't believe what God has testified about his Son. Something about the gospel just rings true. Even when I was pre-Christian, when people would share the Lord with me, there was just something about it that I wanted to know more. And maybe when I was a little younger, I said, well, someday I'll deal with that. I'm busy right now. I don't want to. But deep down in my heart, something inside clicked. Greg Laurie tells a story about being a tough guy teenager on drugs and hanging out the beach and being a surf bum, basically. And people would come by and hand him old tracks. And he'd be real tough, and he'd shrug and kind of act like he wasn't interested. But he'd take those little tracks and put them away because he knew someday there was enough truth that there was a draw. The Word says that no man comes to the Father unless they're drawn. And as we share our life with people and begin to share the Lord, let people know that you're a Christian, people are going to be drawn to you, and they're going to be asking more. They may hold you off at an arm's distance for a while, but don't let a no answer. If you say, hey, do you want to believe? Do you want to receive Jesus right now? If they say no, don't be discouraged, because it just means maybe, in their heart it's a not yet. I don't let the heat off. I mean, we can't let them off with a no forever, because we don't know when their last opportunity is going to be. So it's important to keep putting the truth out there. Okay, next one. This is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. That's one that's probably actually, if you don't have it highlighted in your Bible, I would highlight that. I would make a little computer Bible note. What's really good to do is to get a little, maybe even a library of file cards of just really important scriptures, and just put them away. Just go through them when you're, kind of bored, have nothing to do, or you maybe make it a part of your intentional study time. And let's take these really key verses that are important so that when you have somebody asking questions, you've got some tools in your box to share with them. And this is one of the important ones. This is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Oh, but there's many ways to the Father. There's many ways to God. If you're a good person, if you give to the SPCA when they have their annual drive, you buy a calendar from the local fire department when they have their fundraisers, that's all good stuff, and that will get you to God. Well, that's what the world kind of has a foggy notion, that if you're just a good person and do good stuff and you don't kill anybody or rob or steal, that you're probably going to sneak in the door. This is pretty clear. The Bible has a way of just boiling things down, being very simple. There are also passages that can be quite complicated, but this is one that's crystal. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. God makes it very, very clear. So the next thing, in addition to being God's children, you can't really see it up there very well, we know that God hears us. Do you know that it's so important to know that when you take time to talk to God, he hears you? Now, one thing, if I was going to play a humorous video clip, was from a movie, Jim Carrey, Bruce Almighty. Did everybody see that one? Mm-hmm. Where he was basically, having to shoulder some of God's responsibilities for a time. And it was just that whole sequence of scenes where he was just hearing voices, hearing every prayer, and he just thought the whole world was dumping their prayers on him. And then he got plastered with post-it notes, and he was asking for different ways that he could remember all these. And then he later found out that all those prayers weren't even the whole world. It was just one neighborhood in Brooklyn where he was living. So the point is that just the fact that we have an almighty God who is all-powerful. He has the resources greater than Jim Carrey's to actually hear your prayers. He does listen to you, and he does want you to crawl into his lap and tell you his concerns. Again, I showed this picture last time. But I just love this picture. It's Jesus, kids in his lap, and a big smile on his face. I mean, that's my Jesus. That's the one that I love, and I can share him with people because I say, you know, my God loves you, and he wants you to be his child, and he wants you to bring your concerns to him. He does not have shoulders that are too narrow that they can't carry your problems. In fact, elsewhere in the Word, it does say to cast all your cares on him in 1 Peter because he cares for you. So we know and we're known by God. Excuse me, getting ahead of myself. But backing up a little bit, our God does hear us. So 1 John 5, verses 13 and 15. Okay. And I love this picture too. That's my Jesus too. He just wants us to come to him. If you see a Christian brother or sister sinning in a way that does not lead to death, you should pray, and God will give that person life. But there is a sin that leads to death, and I'm not saying that you should pray for those who commit it. All wicked actions are sin, but not every sin leads to death. We know that God's children do not make a practice of sinning, for God's Son holds them securely, and the evil one cannot touch them. We know that we are children of God, and the world around us is under the control of the evil one. So because of that statement, because that we are children of God and the world is under the control of the evil one, how much more do we need to have that relationship really tight with the Lord, where we just spend abundant amounts of time in his presence? And it doesn't mean you have to be in a position of holiness. You don't have to flog yourself or pour holy water on your head. It's just sitting in your easy chair and reflecting on the Lord and say, oh, thank you, Jesus, for this day you've given me. And, oh, the challenges that are ahead. I've got this and I've got that. How am I ever going to get through, you know, these chores, this particular illness, whatever it is on your plate that day? He wants to hear them from you. This other passage is one of the more, a little bit controversial. What is this thing, this sin that leads to death, and not praying for people who commit it? You know, that one's a tough one to understand. My limited kind of understanding of that passage is that, is really, what is the sin that leads to death? Ultimate, complete, and total rejection of God. That's the sin that leads to death. But that's why that confuses me. I think there must be another one that he's referring to, perhaps. There's a level of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, it says in Corinthians. There is a blasphemy of the Holy Spirit that Jesus, or not Jesus, but the writer in Corinthians calls unforgivable. So I leave that one into God. I say, you know, I'm going to pray for everybody, regardless of what sin they're in, and let God sort it out. He's a lot better at figuring things out. But that particular verse, all actions are sin, but not every sin leads to death. Our sin, the worst thing about our sin, is that it prevents this. When we sin, it keeps us out of guilt and shame from being able to crawl into Jesus' lap and to have that right fellowship with him. So that's the main reason why the Lord wants us to fight sin in our life, is because it causes a separation from him. And it keeps us away from him. Okay, yeah. So the next one here, and we know that the Son of God in verse 20 has come, and he's given us understanding so that we can know the true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God, and he is eternal life. Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. Okay, so we're known, and we're known by God. Let me back up just a little bit. God knows us and we know him. There's a two-way relationship that has transpired when we become his children. And we're marked. The word says in many places that once we've crawled into his hand, no one can snatch us out of his hand. So once you've made that transaction and allowed the Lord to become the Lord of your life and really identified with him in your spirit and allowed his spirit to come in, he seals you and he will keep you from that ultimate unpardonable sin. That doesn't mean you're not going to mess up, because you're human and I'm human. Even if you just read anywhere through the New Testament and you start reading from the book of Acts forward, even after the Holy Spirit came, you see a bunch of guys, these apostles, they were great men, they were mighty men of God, but they still had squabbles, disagreements, they fought amongst themselves, they had disagreements and breaks in fellowship. But ultimately they brought it back and they were healed. That was part of the value of those scriptures being written, so that we could see, you know, even in the best of Christian families and Christian churches, we have disagreements, but there are tools that God gives us to breach those disagreements and to have a healed relationship. Okay, so again, this last passage of Scripture I think is really, really important. Keeping away from anything that might take God's place in our hearts. What could those things be? It can be good stuff. You know, that's the thing. It's not always bad stuff. Okay, I gotta give up pot for God or whatever, you know. I mean, some things are kind of obvious. But some of the less obvious things are maybe greed. Maybe you run a business and maybe you're a little ruthless and you do everything you can to maybe greedily shave a penny or two from your customers. You know, I'm not saying that's a sin. I'm just saying that might be a sin for you. Anything that in your heart you know isn't right and it causes that, I'm not so sure about it with God. That's a sin. And so we need to just purge that stuff out of our life. But other things that can take God's place in our life. And when I think of things that take God's place in my life, I look at my watch and I go, I only got 24 hours a day in which to spend. I wish I had a few more because I could find a few more things to do. But if I had 26 or 30, that'd be great. But I don't. So when I can look at that clock and maybe even take a piece of paper, take a little chart at home and just write, you know, whatever time you wake up, 7 in the morning, let's say, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, all the way around, even through the night hours. And just what are you spending your time doing? Well, you know, there is that 4 hours a night that I watch TV, you know, because I can't miss Wheel of Fortune and you know, whatever's on, I don't know. I used to pride myself in what I didn't know about TV. Never watched, you know, back in the day, never watched Falcon's Crest or what was the one, Dallas. And, you know, people would be at work talking, oh, did you see Dallas last night? No, didn't catch that one. So TV isn't a big problem for me. I got other problems. I have hobbies, things like that. Am I telling you to give up your hobbies? Of course not. But maybe even better, find a way to use your hobby for God's glory. Challenge yourself with something like that. Let's say you like, you know, I know people like to sew and they like to quilt. Okay, well, you can use that gift for God's glory big time. Other things that you can do. Some men, there are men that really actually enjoy physical labor and they go out and chop wood. You know, chop wood for God's glory. Do a half a pickup load for a widow who can't do wood for herself or something. There are ways to use the things that God's given you for His glory. So again, that's another one. I mentioned refrigerator magnet scriptures. Keep away from anything that might take God's place in your heart. That's a good one. It could be food. It could be a hobby. You know, moderation is always a good word too. If God can't ultimately use your particular hobby for His glory, I'm trying to think of one that He couldn't, but nothing's coming to me. Fishing you can use for His glory. I mean, even if it's a matter of, let's say you like fishing, you know, finding a kid who doesn't have a dad, maybe would like to go out and do a fishing run. God can use just about anything for His glory. And then that way you're using that to communicate about the good things of God. So just about wrapping up this chapter here. Okay, walking by faith. That's been this whole theme, walking by faith in the whole of 1 John. First, you know, in this particular one, we're talking about being God's children. Again, we've beaten that to death, but really embrace that. I guess if you could take one little thing away, embrace the fact that you're God's child as much as if you have a child that you embrace that child of yours. My kids, even the ones up in their 20s, they're still my kids, and everything that hurts them hurts me. And that's the way God approaches His relationship with you. Anything that hurts you hurts Him, and so He wants to hear about it. He wants you to really take that full child position in Him. Okay, and that was what we covered in 1 John 5, 1 through 12. And again, remember that He really does hear you. Now, some of the problem is I think some people get frustrated in prayer and say, well, God, you know, I looked at this wonderful new shiny Mercedes. It's beautiful. I could pick up people and take them to the soup kitchen in it. And, you know, I can take that widow to service on Sunday in this beautiful Mercedes. And I've been praying for that thing for 5 years, and I still haven't got it yet. So what's wrong? You don't hear me. Whoops. I'm sorry about that. I just blew right out of it. If you can bring Robin, if you can find a way to restart that. I accidentally shut it down. Anyway, we're near the end. But the point there is simply that sometimes we ask for stuff that we really don't need. You know, God's going to filter it through a couple of things. You know, is it beneficial? Yeah, well, that Mercedes would be beneficial. Is there a good reason to have that particular one? Not particularly. You know. And with that said, I've seen people pray for stuff like that and actually get it. So, you know, if God does choose to bless you with a really nice thing, appreciate it. You know, don't be embarrassed of it. Appreciate it. But my main thing there is just don't say because you didn't get that yacht, that 40-foot yacht, doesn't mean God doesn't love you. It just means he may even just be saying not now. That's something I want for your, you know, a different place when you're a different spot in your life. For right now, I know what's best, and I'm saying wait. So God answers prayers basically in three ways: yes, no, and wait. And sometimes you get that no, and that's okay. It doesn't mean he doesn't love you. If you're a parent and your kids ask for something and you had to say no, you know, it happens sometimes because we know best, right? Well, that's the way God is with us. Okay. And then finally, we know and we're known. I mean, God knows us, we know him, and that also will protect us in the long run, because when you know somebody, and when you know somebody as well as, let's say, we know the personality of Jesus, if somebody says something to you that doesn't sound like Jesus, you can kind of pick that flag right up. Well, I know Jesus. That doesn't sound like him. That isn't a WWJD. Jesus would not do that, you know, because you know him. You know him. And then, so nobody can pull the wool over your eyes and try to, you know, trick you with something that's outside the gospel. And I'll just pick on one group out there in the middle of Utah somewhere that allows, you know, multiple partners. You know, they all have 10, 12 wives. Some of them can be 12 years old. That's okay. God doesn't mind. Well, something just, when Jesus said that, you know, that one man, one woman, there's that, you know, that isn't ringing true. That's not my Jesus. So they're listening to something else when they're going off on tangents like that. So, lastly, again, I said, don't be fooled. You know, walking with God, there really is only one way, and it is just, it's a rather narrow path, but not one that we can't find. So, again, if you're finding the path that you're walking seeming somewhat like this, and you go, you know what I do when I hit a sign like that in the road of life? I just stop. I pause. Okay, all right, God, I have no idea. Is it right? Is it left? And I would determine that I'm not going to take one more step until I know, is it right or is it left? And I think that's ultimately what we gain from our study in the book of John here, is that we really do have God walking with us, and that will ultimately make any confusing forks in the road much easier to walk through when we get to them. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.